Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. How are you doing today? Good morning. Good to have you with us. It is Wednesday, the 6th day of July, 2022. And today marks the anniversary of, well, it's today is, I have now completed 57 trips around the sun. So how did that happen? I guess if you just keep breathing, you'll end up getting older. This is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast that's dedicated primarily to the public reading of Scripture and secondarily to my ideas and thoughts on various topics of the day. And today is, as I said, Wednesday, the 6th of July. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. You can head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com and check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You are sure to find something worth listening to. So I commend that to you. Our scriptures today are going to be Ecclesiastes 4 through 6, Psalm 125, and 2 Timothy 2. And then after we finish our Bible reading today, I'm going to sign off fairly quickly because I've got a lot of stuff to do today. And then today will culminate with Mrs. Squirrel and I at the Montana Club, where I will enjoy 57% off a very large slice of beef. That is my plan for the day. If you are in the Missoula area and it's your birthday, you get your age off in percentage of your dinner. And I am aware of a woman who at the time was 104 years old. She has since gone to be with the Lord. But on her 104th birthday, the restaurant paid her 4% of the price of her dinner, which I thought was kind of neat. So that's their big birthday thing. You get your age in a percentage off, and 57% off is about the only way I can afford to eat there. So we're gonna go and eat there and have a good time. Let's see. I've already read the scriptures for today: Ecclesiastes 4 through 6, Psalm 125, and 2 Timothy 2. So let's begin, as is our habit, after a sip of coffee, with the prayer of confession from the 1552 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways. Excuse me. Let me start over. Take two. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now our prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Then I looked again at all the acts of oppression which were being done under the sun. And behold, I saw the tears of the oppressed, and that they had no one to comfort them. And on the side of their oppressors was power, but they had no one to comfort them. So I lauded the dead who were already dead more than the living who are still living. But better off than both of them is the one who has never been, who has never seen the evil work that is done under the sun. I have seen that every labor and every success of the work is a result of jealousy between a man and his neighbor. This too is vanity and striving after wind. The fool folds his hands in embrace and consumes his own flesh. One handful of rest is better than two fistfuls of labor and striving after the wind. Then I looked again at vanity under the sun. There was a certain man without a second man, having neither a son nor a brother, yet there was no end to all his labor. Indeed, his eyes were not satisfied with riches. And for whom am I laboring and depriving myself of good? This too is vanity, and it is a grievous endeavor. Two are better than one, because they have good wages for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not a second one to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can stand against him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. A poor yet wise lad is better than an old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive warning. For he has come out of prison to become king, even though he was born poor in his kingdom. I have seen all the living who walk about under the sun go along with the second lad who stands in place of him. There is no end to all the people, to all who were before them, and even the ones who will come later will not be glad with him, for this too is vanity and striving after wind. Chapter 5. Guard your steps as you go to the house of God, and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know they are doing evil. Do not be hasty with your mouth or impulsive in your heart to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven, but you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For the dream comes through abundant endeavor, and the voice of a fool through abundant words. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it, for he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Do not allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin, and do not say in the presence of the messenger of God that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry on account of your voice and wreak destruction on the work of your hands? For in many dreams and vanities are many words. Rather, fear God. If you see oppression of the poor, and robbery of justice and righteousness in the province, do not be astonished over the matter, for a lofty one keeps watch over another lofty one, and there are loftier ones over them. But the advantage of the land and everything is this: a king committed to a cultivated field. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its produce. This too is vanity. When good things increase, those who consume them increase. So what is the success to their masters, except to look on with their eyes? The sleep of the laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the satisfaction of the rich man does not allow him to sleep. There is a sickening evil which I have seen under the sun, riches being hoarded by their master to his own evil demise. And those riches were lost through a bad endeavor, and he became the father of a son, but there was nothing in his hand for him. As he came naked from his mother's womb, so he will return as he came. He will carry nothing from the fruit of his labor that he can bring in his hand. This also is a sickening evil. Exactly as a man came, so will he go. So what is the advantage to him who labors for the wind? Also, all his days he eats in darkness, with much vexation, and his sickness and anger. Here is what I have seen to be good, which is beautiful, to eat, to drink, and to see good in all one's labor, in which he labors under the sun, during the few days of his life which God has given him, for this is his portion. Furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him to eat from them, and to take up his portion and be glad in his labor. This is the gift of God. for he will not remember much the days of his life, because God allows him to occupy himself with the gladness of his heart. Chapter 6. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun and is prevalent among men. A man to whom God gives riches and wealth and honor, so that his soul lacks nothing of all that he desires, yet God does not empower him to eat from them, for a foreigner eats from them. This is vanity and a sickening evil. If a man becomes the father of 100 children and lives many years, however many the days of his years may be, but his soul is not satisfied with good things, and he does not even have a proper burial, then I say, better the miscarriage than he. For that one comes in vanity and goes into darkness, and that one's name is covered in darkness. Indeed, that one never sees the sun and never knows anything. That one has more rest than he. Even if the other man lives 1,000 years twice and does not see good things, do not all go to the same place? All a man's labor is for his mouth, and yet the soul is not fulfilled. For what advantage does the wise man have over the fool? What advantage does the afflicted man have, knowing how to walk before the living? What the eye sees is better than what the soul goes after. This too is vanity and striving after wind. Whatever exists has already been named, and it is known what man is, and he cannot dispute with him who is stronger than he is. For there are many words which increase vanity. What then is the advantage to a man? For who knows what is good for a man during his lifetime, during the few years of his vain life? He will make do with them like a shadow, for who can tell a man what will be after him under the sun? Psalm 125, a song of ascents. Those who trust in Yahweh are as Mount Zion, which will not be shaken, but will abide forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so Yahweh surrounds his people from now until forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous, so that the righteous would not send forth their hands in unrighteousness. Do good, O Yahweh, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But as for those who turn aside to their crooked ways, Yahweh will lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. And now 2 Timothy. You therefore, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. Entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Understand what I say, for the Lord will give you insight in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, of the seed of David, according to my gospel, for which I endure hardship, even to chains as a criminal. But the word of God has not been chained. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of the elect, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. It is a trustworthy saying, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, solemnly charging them in the presence of God not to dispute about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid godless and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their word will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to depart from wickedness. Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of clay, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, having been prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's slave must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient with wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may give them repentance, leading to the full knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. This is the word of the Lord. Now the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance, to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, well, remind you, coming up this week, tomorrow is Theology Thursday, as we continue to look through the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, paragraph by paragraph, and then on Friday, Federalist Friday, and this Friday we are going to be looking at the Constitutional Convention itself that was called in Philadelphia that took place in the summer of 1787, and that's going to be our topic on Federalist Friday before we finally get to the Constitution and start to look through the Constitution and the Federalist Papers. So I hope you can join us for tomorrow and Friday's editions as we deal with theology and as we deal with the history of the United States of America, which is, of course, all leading up to the midterm election and hopefully a turning away of the United States from the extreme wicked path that we have been on for decades. It would be a wonderful thing if God showed grace upon us and gave us another period of righteousness and law and justice in America, as opposed to the anarchy. You know, the Bible said that lawlessness would increase, and it said that, you know, sin is lawlessness. And I was struck by that yesterday as I watched a video. And I don't know what fast food restaurant it was. I didn't read any articles about it. I just watched the video clip. And it was looked to be a teenage girl, maybe young 20s, but certainly no older than college age. But I think she was probably younger. She looked to me to be high school age. And she is trashing the counter and lobby of a fast food restaurant. And according to the caption, this altercation took place because they were out of whatever item she wanted. And so, I mean, she was picking up the heavy iron stanchions that hold the velvet ropes that guide people through the lines. She was picking those up and throwing them over the counter into the equipment on the other side of the counter. The people working the counter had fled into the back of the kitchen to try to avoid all the objects that she was throwing. They still had the COVID barriers around the counter and everything, and she ripped those down and was throwing those around. She threw napkin holders around in the room and just generally trashing this restaurant because they didn't have whatever it was she wanted for lunch. So the level of lawlessness, I don't remember ever hearing about stuff like that when I was a kid. Now, maybe it happened and we just never found out about it because there weren't people with iPhones and cameras videoing everything. But I can't imagine it happened. I can't imagine it happened often. I don't know. Maybe it was our ignorance. Maybe the fact that we have this, you know, the fact that everybody's got an iPhone and a camera and everything gets videoed anymore, and we see it and we hear about it, things that we never heard about years ago. Maybe we just hear about it more. But I, like I said, I don't remember ever hearing about stuff like this. And seeing stuff like this is shameful behavior. This lawlessness. And then we've had all the shootings over the weekend. Now, Chicago, Philadelphia, New York. Everybody's talking about the parade that got shot up. But just looking at these big blue cities and the violence in the neighborhoods, you know, that far exceed these single shooter incidents, but are never talked about. And it's just, it saddens me. And I keep remembering back when Mayor Giuliani cleaned up New York, and he did clean up New York. I remember when I was in high school, you know, back in the 80s, New York was a crime-infested Warren, and I remember watching, you know, TV show. There was the opening sequence of The Equalizer with Edward Woodward, which was a great TV show, much better than the remake. But in the opening scene, there was a, you know, picture of graffiti-covered New York subway cars. And Giuliani cleaned all that up, and he started arresting people for what we consider to be minor crimes, like spray painting a subway car. And by enforcing these small laws, people began obeying the big laws, because it put out the word that lawlessness would not be tolerated. And it's called the broken window syndrome, you know. If you fix a broken window right away, chances are nobody's going to break another window. When you leave a broken window, pretty soon all the windows are broken because people realize you don't care about the broken window, and so they throw rocks through windows that aren't broken. By enforcing the little laws, it educated the people that the laws were to be obeyed. And that made all the difference for what was going on. Now I'm looking down at my board, and apparently Twitter is the only thing I'm live streaming on. I am offline on every other platform, so I don't know what's going on. I will have to look at that before tomorrow's Theology Thursday. But we are going out live on Twitter. So, well, anyway, that's Wednesday's show. I'm going to go do stuff, including figuring out what's going on with my live streaming. Remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.